Good evening, young disciples.
Good evening, sir.
And happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
And Feliz Sabado. Praise the Lord. Feliz Sabado. Okay, tonight we're going to be looking at some very interesting things, and I've entitled this talk, Intestinal Parasites. Since we've already eaten. But this is something that is very, very important to us because there's some things that we don't know. And if you had parasites in your stomach, would you know about them? Would you be able to see them if they were in your stomach? No. So you probably wouldn't even know that they existed until you started seeing some, like, well, never mind. So tonight we're going to look into Luke. Anybody know where Luke is? It's in the Bible. Yes, in the New Testament. It's the third gospel, Luke chapter 15. And we're going to look at a very well-known story. Has anybody heard of the prodigal son? Has anybody not heard of the prodigal son? I didn't think so. So we're going to start at the end of the story. Is that a good place to start? No, sir. But it's an overlooked part of the story, which has gotten a lot of meaning to me in the last few weeks. So if you look at Luke chapter 15, and we're going to start with verse 28. And this is talking about the elder son, okay? We always talk about the prodigal son, but we don't often look really closely at the elder son. And I think it's incredibly important that we do that because there's some lessons there that we can apply to our lives today. Okay, now between the prodigal son and the elder son. The prodigal son took off, right? He left his father, he left his home, and he was a bad guy. And then he came back. The elder son stayed at home, right? He stayed in the church. He kept all the rules. He did all the work. He stayed there. But let's look what happens when the younger brother comes home. Let's all read together verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, altogether, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Okay. So the son, the elder son, had stayed home that whole time. He was with his father that whole time. But he had a very different attitude than his father did, didn't he? His father was excited about this son coming home. The son, the elder brother, was angry. So even though the elder son had stayed home, he'd stayed in the church, he had been a good boy, he hadn't entered into the heart of his father at all, had he? And what was he angry about? That his younger brother, that he had wasted. Now, was the older brother worried that his father was going to, like, end up a poor man and not be able to survive his retirement? He was worried about that younger brother taking his inheritance away. Okay? So what was he really there for? Himself. Himself and the money. He was there for the money, for the payoff. Okay, now look what the father said to the elder son. Okay, verse 31. And he, the father, said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me. And look what he says next, okay? Look at this. All that I have is... Whoa. Okay, think about this. Now, who does the father in this story represent? Jesus. And who does the sons represent? Us. Now, we, those of you that have stayed in the church, that have done all the right things, that haven't gone out, and we're here now, anyway, we are kind of like the older son. And what does the father say to us? What is God saying to us in this verse? All that I have is yours. Okay, what does God have? What all? I mean,
cattle on a thousand
hills. Yeah, but I'm not really into cattle. So modernize that. How about the cars and a thousand freeways? Okay, huh? Yeah, something like that. I mean, what does he not own? He owns everything. This whole world is his. All the gold in this world and 10,000 other worlds are his. And they're all ours. It's all ours. Why? He's our Father. What's the flip side to that? If we have everything available to us that God owns, then can we ever be in a situation that God cannot get us out of? That's an easy answer. Could we ever be put in a situation that God doesn't have a way to get out of? Absolutely not. But if he owns everything and it's all ours, then everything we own is his, including ourselves. Okay, so this is amazing. But look at this. The Father talks to the elder son, and then that story is left with an open ending. There's no closure. We know what happened to the younger son. He came home, and it was a wonderful reunion, and he's reinstated in the family. But the elder son, it's kind of like left open. Why would that be left open? Sorry? Well, maybe, but it... Sorry? Yes. Now, Jesus, who was Jesus talking to right at this time in this Bible? The Jews, the Pharisees. They were very wealthy people. They still had a decision to make because Jesus had not been crucified, and they didn't really realize and understand the kingdom of God. So the door was still open for them. Is the door still open for us? Absolutely. And so what was the problem? What was the basic problem with the elder son? What was in his heart? Was it love or covetousness? That's the problem. Okay? That's the problem. And so that story is left open because Jesus is going to now deal with that issue in the next chapter. So let's look at chapter 16. You probably know this parable very well. The parable of the... Nope. Chapter 16? The unjust steward. Yes, the unjust steward. Now, you know the story of the unjust steward. It was reported to his boss that he had been wasting his goods, which is another nice way of saying he was embezzling. Okay? What does embezzling mean? It means taking something that belongs to somebody else and just taking a little bit off from the side. Okay? And using it for yourself. Exactly. And so this guy, the boss says, look, here's a report I hear. I want you to write up and finish all your reports and give an account of everything because you're fired. Okay? You're out of this job. And so what does the steward do next? What does the steward start thinking about next? Huh? What's he going to do? He's lost this job. What's he going to do next? He says, I'm too proud to dig. I'm too proud to beg. So what am I going to do? Yes. Find another job. But there is no other jobs out there that he knows of. So remember, he starts taking the accounts and he starts making friends out there of his master's debtors. And he says, so that when I am loosed, when I'm out of this job, they will accept me into their lives, into their friendship. Okay? And so he did these things and made friends. And then Jesus said, he commended, verse 6, and the Lord commended the unjust steward. That means Jesus said this guy did the right thing. He did the right thing. Why did he do the right thing? Because he was thinking about the future. He was thinking about his future. And let's look what Jesus says right here. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser, this is verse 8, than the children of light. So the unbelievers are often wiser than the believers. And we're going, what? What are you talking about? And let's look at the next verse. And I say unto you, this is Jesus talking, okay? I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. It's like, what was that? What is the mammon of unrighteousness? It's filthy lucre. Simple as that, as money. It's money. So make friends with your money so that those friends will receive you into what is everlasting habitations? Does anybody have any idea what everlasting habitations is? Heaven. Yes. So use your money to make friends that they, now this certain type of friendship making makes sure that they are in heaven. So use your money to spread the gospel so that those people that you've helped to get to heaven will welcome you there into heaven. That's what he says. Use your money for the purpose of the kingdom of God. Okay? Now let's keep looking. He that is faithful in that which is least. Now what is Jesus talking about here? Mammon of unrighteousness is money. And he considers money as the least. Does the world think of money as the least? No, it thinks of money as the greatest. Money is power. Money is everything. But Jesus is saying that money is the least. Okay, he that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the true riches? And what that's saying is that God's got something a lot better up in heaven. Can you grab the end of this? Okay, I'm going to do a little illustration here. Okay, this is a rope. And imagine that this rope just goes on forever and ever. It doesn't. It just ends there. But just imagine it just goes on forever. And this is a timeline of your existence. Okay? And just imagine that it exists on forever and ever. And this little red part at the beginning is your life on this earth, this life. Okay? And most people think and plan really, really hard, and they work really, really hard so they can enjoy this part of their lives, forgetting that what you do in this part of your life affects all of this. So that time that you transfer over from this life and you meet Jesus Christ, all the decisions that you make here, there'll be either regret or joy. So every decision that you make in this life will affect what happens over here. So when you come to Christ at the end of this life, will you regret the decisions that you've made, or will you face them with joy? In other words, like Paul, what did he say about his life? He had a terrible life. He had a crummy life. He was shipwrecked. He was in the ocean for all day and all night. He was beaten like four times. I mean, just a terrible life. And he says, I'm doing this because I'm investing in this part of my life. Everything that I have, every waking energy, every strength that I have, all of my resources, all my hopes and dreams and everything is centered on getting into this life. And he invested everything in it. But we often try to focus on just this part of our lives, just this life. So like, I just got to work hard so I can be comfortable and I can eat the good foods and I can go and see the nice places and I just have a really good life and all this stuff. Well, nobody thinks about this. But what would you choose? Would you have a really nice life here and miss out on all this? Or would you be willing to invest heartache, pain, suffering in this life and have a really good life here and then over here and then over here and then when you get over here and you're way over here, and you still got eternity to go, and you're looking back and say, wow, that I shouldn't have invested so much. No. We have got to think about this life. This life. So in this little life, it's okay to suffer. That was like a brainstorm to me. It was like a amazing, like a reality bucket just hit me in the face. It's okay to suffer. Because you know what? This is the only life we can suffer in for Christ. After this life is over, you will never, ever, ever get a chance to suffer for Jesus. And suffering for Jesus, entering into his suffering, is the greatest honor and the greatest joy. So as you guys consider your futures, as you consider your plans and your dreams and your hopes and your careers, remember, this life is just fleeting. It's not worth planning for unless it's invested. Your whole life, everything that you have is invested to getting your greatest reward in this life. And to get that reward is investing in others so that they can be there too. And intestinal parasites. What is intestinal parasites? I found this a while ago and it just blows me away. What is it that is really killing us as a church? Intestinal parasites. Intestinal parasites. Worldliness and covetousness are eating out the vitals of God's people. What's vitals? What are your vitals? Your insides. Yeah, the things that you are vital. Like your stomach, your lungs, your spleen, those things that you like to have still inside. Your brain, all that stuff. And what is it that's eating that out? Intestinal parasites? What's the spiritual things that I just read here that's eating those things out spiritually? Covetousness and worldliness. What is worldliness? Yes. Watching the movies of the world, listening to the music of the world, chasing the things that the world chases after, all those things is worldliness. And covetousness. Covetousness is wanting the things that belong to someone else, right? Which includes what I think I own, because I'm just a steward. All things belong to God. They should understand, we should understand that it is his mercy which multiplies the demands for our means. The angel of God places benevolent acts close beside prayer. In other words, as important as prayer. Benevolent, kindly acts are as important as prayer. He said to Cornelius, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And so, let's bring it all together. Who would you like to live your life for? Absolutely. And which part of your life do you want to put your focus and your planning for? Eternal life. Plan for the next life. Everything that you do, every decision that you make, every choice that you choose, who you're going to marry for a life partner, what is your career, what are you going to do this afternoon? Prepare for that event when we cross over and we meet Jesus Christ. You'll have purpose. You'll have focus. It'll be hard. But you know what? At this morning, you know, going forth and sowing with tears, what I found out is that there's going to be tears anyway. Living in the world, living for myself, there's tears. Trust me, major tears. So there's going to be tears anyway. So which tears do you want? The tears that result in joy or the tears that result in death? That's pretty simple choice. It's easy to say, but now we've got to put that into action. And that's what true disciple is all about. Amen? That's what young disciple is all about, is putting that into action so that when you leave here, still got a couple days, but when you leave, you'll have something that you can take with you to practice every single day. Random acts of kindness. Sounds so simple? Profound. Absolutely profound. That's what heaven is, the joy of heaven is based on. Random acts of kindness with no hope of return and reward. That's who Jesus is. Why did Jesus grow that? If you see a flower, there's a flower. Why did Jesus grow that flower? In hopes somebody would smile. That's my Jesus. That's my God. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to bow before you and thank you for the amazing God that you are. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to plan ahead for the next life that you've told us about, this eternal life that can begin now by just obeying, surrendering to you, and giving you everything, Father. And tonight we want to do that. We want to surrender our lives into your hands. We look to you to provide for everything and to guide us. Father, we don't want to make any decision that isn't directly guided by you. And so, Father, lead us and guide us. Teach us your ways. Teach us what's important to you so that when we go forward, we know we just have a confidence in you, Father. We know that you love us, and we love you too, Father. We thank you for giving us your life as we give you ours. In Jesus' name, amen.